Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's great having you with me today. I have a great show in store for you since it's all about some new and exciting information regarding our hormones. And before we jump into things, I just want to remind everyone that I have a very informative website called What Women Must Know. In fact, my Facebook page is also What Women Must Know, so that should be easy for everyone to remember. And both on my website, there's great information, and I send out information on an ongoing basis. And I post just about every day on Facebook the kind of information that just keeps you informed and up to date with very relevant matters, whatever it may be. So hope you'll like me over there at What Women Must Know, my Facebook page, and opt into my website because that's a place where I have some free special reports, and you always get sent these archive shows. So you never want to miss a show. It's always so enlightening, and the guests I have just keep me educated and, of course, keep you educated, which is the purpose of the show. It's empowering you with truthful information so you can make truly informed decisions. And isn't that what it's all about? So today we're going to be talking about a new book that's out called The Hormone Boost, How to Power Up Your Six Essential Hormones for Strength, Energy, and Weight Loss. And this is going to be added to your treasure trove of knowledge about hormones, but this is a little different angle. And my guest, Dr. Natasha Turner, who wrote the book, The Hormone Boost, is really exploring how there are some very special hormones. In fact, there are five other hormones that you may or may not know much about, including testosterone, adiponectin, growth hormone, adrenaline, and glucagon, that play a major role in how we can access more strength, energy, and weight loss. So I know you're going to be really fascinated and empowered by the topic we're discussing today. Just let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Natasha Turner. She is a leading naturopathic doctor and founder of Clear Medicine, a Canadian-based wellness boutique that provides integrated health care. She's the author of The Hormone Diet, The Carb Sensitivity Program, and the New York Times bestseller, The Supercharged Hormone Diet. And she lives in Toronto, Canada, which is where she's calling us from today. So hello, Natasha.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Selman?
I'm good. Welcome to the show. So glad you can be with us. I know that everyone will really be so interested in the topic and the education that you'll be providing us today with your new book. So congratulations, by the way, on the Hormone Boost book.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, every book is a labor of love, and every time I write one, I think, okay, that's it. That's the last one. But, you know, I always keep coming up with ideas, and this one was a really neat concept. I mean, the other three books were all about the problems of hormonal imbalance, and this time I took, you know, I'm still talking about my passion, which is hormones, but I took the opposite side of the coin, just like you mentioned. It's kind of looking at the aspect of hormones, but from the positive side.
And, you know, there is so much to the hormone story. It's not just about estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, which we tend to focus on. Our hormones have this intricate dance, and there's so many hormones that are impacting our overall health and well-being. So this is a great opportunity to expand our horizons in relationship to hormones and to really get a bigger picture of what's involved in keeping our body in balance, as well as addressing issues like weight, which, of course, is a big concern these days for so many people. So, well, why don't we just jump right into it, and let's talk about these hormones that are featured in your book and help us understand what they are, what they do. We'll take one at a time and, you know, how we can support our body to stay in balance with these specific hormones.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I mean, most of us, you know, the hormone boost is all about boosting and improving. And when you think about metabolism and energy and weight loss, the big hormone that comes to mind for most people is thyroid hormone. And so that's my chapter one. You know, I talk all about thyroid hormone and the different types of thyroid hormone. And the real concern that I think we're all facing today, the majority or many people, a huge percentage of the population, is not the definition or identification of a true deficiency of thyroid hormone on a blood test. So being diagnosed as what you call hypothyroidism, which is what I have, and that's what made me start and look into this whole field of hormones 20 years ago. But the concept of us not being in the optimal range for your thyroid, and I know you may have spoken about this on your show before, but I'm a real big fan of boosting the TSH, or the thyroid stimulating hormone, well into the optimal range, not just in the normal range. So with all my patients here in Toronto, I look for that TSH to be between 1 and 2. You know, a huge percentage of the population are falling in the range between, even though the normal range in Canada is 0.35 to 5. Well, a lot of people fall in that range between 2 and 5, and in my mind, their thyroid is not optimal. And even that slightly outside of the range value will make us more prone to weight gain and more difficulty losing. I found a great study that came out of New York City that showed that men and women who have a slightly elevated TSH, oh, just over a period of a few years, were much more prone to weight gain. And, you know, the men gained an extra 5 pounds and the women an extra 9. So, you know, how hard it is to lose weight and keep it off when we age, especially when you're over 40. So certainly keeping your TSH in an optimal range is a very important piece of that puzzle. And I love to get into the discussion of thyroid isn't just about your weight and your metabolism. Really interesting impacts of thyroid hormone on your digestion. You know, if you feel like your digestion is sluggish, you know, and how low stomach acid and food allergies and sensitivities can really impact your thyroid hormone function. And also on our mood. You know, I have a colleague here, Dr. Dick. He's a psychiatrist. And he told me, it was so interesting, I was speaking to him one day, he's 75, and he said, did you know that long before the evolution of SSRIs, we used to treat patients for depression with thyroid hormone, active thyroid hormone T3. So, I mean, if you're prone to being, you know, cold, tired, moody, irritable, struggling to lose weight or keep it off, in my mind, that shows you need to optimize your thyroid hormone.
So I think it's really important to start over the conversation of thyroid, since it is a big problem and there are many things that impact the thyroid. You talked about the value, which most people get tested on a blood test, the TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. And, you know, I think that range that you talked about under 2 is really ideal. I just had my blood work done, which I do every year. Mine was 3 point something, which I haven't had it tested for a while.
Yeah,
so I'm, you know, I'm...
Mind.
Huh?
I said, I think that's a little bit too high in my mind, which
indicates your
thyroid is a bit
sluggish. I know, it's
too high
in my mind, too. So I've started being proactive, and what I've been doing is taking, I've been taking a homeopathic thyroid support product as well as a nutritional formula that has many of the cofactors that support thyroid function. So I'll see how that goes. I mean, I've been diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis many, many, many years ago. I never went on hormone support. I just worked on nutritional support and supplementation and dietary changes, and really was able to get those antibodies down. But we need to talk about that because, first of all, I think the TSH is a piece of the puzzle, as you know, but if people are struggling with their weight or they feel like they're, you know, there's symptoms of feeling cold or waking or depression or high cholesterol or losing part of their, you know, eyebrows or their hair is thinning, some classic signs. If that's going on, even if the TSH looks within normal range, and as you said, even doctors accept 5 within normal range,
yes.
And I shudder with that, we need to have a bigger picture to really address some of the issues that may be affecting the thyroid. And
no,
since 80% of women have Hashimoto's, it's not just TSH, right?
No, I mean, absolutely not. And your thyroid is one of the most nutritionally sensitive glands. So how much you eat, when you eat, the heavy reliance that your thyroid needs on specific nutrients to actually even manufacture the thyroid hormone is very essential. And also, the thyroid, you know, when I wrote the hormone diet and the supercharged hormone diet, that book, I think that that's the first book that really put together all the other hormones that impact your thyroid. So, for instance, if you have high levels of cortisol, your thyroid will be suppressed. I mean, look at all the new moms that get hypothyroidism after pregnancy. It's because of the stress and sleep deprivation and the hormonal challenges of pregnancy. You know, I got my hypothyroidism after I graduated from university and broke up with a boyfriend. I was obviously stressed out at the time. And then, so too much cortisol will suppress thyroid. Too much estrogen in women, so if you're someone taking the birth control pill, if you have breast tenderness, irritability, mood swings, PMS, bloating, you know, that excess estrogen will suppress your thyroid. You know, melatonin is one of my favorite hormones because it boosts your thyroid. So it's really, I mean, my clinic here in Toronto, I have people that come from all over North America to see me for thyroid problems, and it's because I think about the big picture, and I treat the big picture. I did that after I had so many problems myself. I mean, I was eating, watching what I was doing everything perfectly, and I still gained 25 pounds. And that's when I started to think, oh, my God, you know, this whole formula of calories in, calories out equals weight loss is ridiculous. It's not even close to the real, you know, the real formula. You've got to add hormone balance to that equation. And, you know, your thyroid is obviously essential. And I think it's an important message to get across that you need to get it into the optimal range. And you can do that with nutrition, with supplements, with sleep, and with the specific type of exercise that I have in the book. And also,
What is the exercise you recommend?
Oh, the exercise is so cool. It's called German Body Composition Training, and it's a type of strength training. It's one of the only types of strength training that you could absolutely do at home. It's only 20 to 30 minutes, three times a week, but it boosts adrenaline and it boosts growth hormone. So it helps to build muscle and shred your body fat at the same time. And it also is known to, it doesn't increase cortisol or suppress your thyroid, which, you know, if you have a really too hard, too long, too intense workout, it's proven it can drop your thyroid hormone for after 24 hours after the workout. And that's absolutely what happened with me. I was over-exercising. I was exercising an hour and a half a day. I wasn't eating enough calories because I was still struggling to get those 25 pounds off. And I did that for about another 7 to 10 days, and I ended up in the emergency ward because I couldn't understand people when they spoke to me. I was confused. I was foggy. And what happened was I raised my cortisol levels so much because of the over-exercising and the caloric restriction. So, I mean, I found this new workout that it's actually not new. It's old. But I put it back in this book because I was so impressed with how rapidly it can offer changes, and it's specifically because of the hormonal impact that it has. And for women, it is the bomb. Because as women, we need growth hormone to build muscle, and this type of training specifically boosts growth hormone.
So before we leave this topic of thyroid, what are some of your recommendations for people listening who suspect they may have a thyroid issue? What would be some steps that you would suggest people do?
When I did the launch of the hormone boost on the Dr. Oz show just in January, we had a fun time making a breakfast that had 30 grams of protein. Now, we made a smoothie, but I love doing smoothies that don't have fruit in them. And I actually put in about 20 recipes for fruit-free smoothies because I think it's best for powering up your thyroid and boosting dopamine in the morning, which is great for motivation and drive and focus. So the example was a dark chocolate salted caramel crunch, and it had cacao and chia and whey protein and chocolate almond milk and some hemp hearts. And there's a really great example. It's so important to get 30 grams of protein in the morning to power up your thyroid. And the other thing that is very important is to have a cheat meal once a week. I can tell a chronic dieter a mile away when I look at their blood work because the active thyroid hormone, T3, will drop if they're over-exercising or if they're not having a cheat meal once a week. So,
What's a cheat meal?
A cheat meal is when you eat more calories. You don't have to necessarily eat the foods you're allergic or sensitive to, but you have to eat more calories, more carbs, because that it reduces stress hormone and it boosts your thyroid. It keeps your body guessing. And so my favorite cheat meal would be to go out and have a quinoa pasta with a rosé sauce and some sausage and then maybe a couple of glasses of wine. Someone else, it might be a load of sushi or some pizza. It's just it's about getting in more carbohydrate and more calories at that one meal. Now, I would say that if your weight is up 2 to 3 days post the cheat meal, you have overdone the cheat meal, you know. So you have to kind of earn your cheat meal. If you're following the Hormone Boost diet plan overall, which has the 4 meals a day and with specific combinations of foods, then certainly the cheat meal is a very important piece. And I have one thyroid formula myself. It's called Clear Metabolism. It has all the nutrients that your body needs to make thyroid hormones, so tyrosine and amino acid and iodine. It has zinc and really nice herbs, ashwagandha, which is a nice herb that lowers stress hormone. So just 2 capsules of that in the morning, I see really great results with patients' blood work.
I just want to say the important thing is to, in my experience in my practice, is to make a distinction. If your TSH, which is your thyroid stimulating number, the higher the number, the lower your thyroid is functioning.
Right.
But, a lot of the recommendations for a sluggish thyroid aren't really appropriate if the cause of that thyroid sluggishness is due to an autoimmune condition, because then you don't want to take the normal recommendation of iodine on its own without the other key mineral selenium, right? So it's a little complicated. You just can't go by a TSH, which is what all, your blood tests do when you see your doctors. You have to actually insist that you get a thyroid antibody test, because you have to drill down deeper to do the right protocol, or else you may be aggravating the condition. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. And in the book, I give it a list. These are the 4 tests you have to ask for. This is the optimal value that those tests should be. So I give you that right off the get-go in the book. And, Dr. Selman, I just want to point out one other thing. There's a lot of women taking, I think it's 1 in 13 women take a thyroid medication. And I'm taking a thyroid medication myself. I take Altroxin, which is T4. Now, I talk about the revolutionary new approach to treating hypothyroidism, even if you're on a medication. And in my mind, I think you should be taking a combination of T4 and T3. And there's great results and research to prove that people that take a compound for both of those things have better mood, better cognition, better metabolism overall. And that's personally what I take, and I use that with many of my patients at the clinic.
I never understood why doctors give things like Synthroid here, which is a T4. Because T4 is not the critical thyroid hormone, it's T3, and
that's
I don't
right.
know why they expect T4
yes.
when you're taking it to convert to T3, because it's kind of the end of the line, T4.
Yeah.
In nature, T4 quickly turns into T3, but when you just take a T4 supplement, it's not going to convert to the active thyroid hormone that goes into every single receptor site in every cell and gets the energy going. So isn't that kind of crazy?
Yes, and that's exactly, I take both. I take both every morning, and I've been prescribing that for years with my patients, and guess what? I have better ready rates for fertility, lower rates of high cholesterol, better all these women. Yesterday, this is such an incredible story. I had a woman, she was celiac disease. She didn't know. She had 4 miscarriages. She didn't have her period. As soon as she found out she was celiac, she took out the gluten, her period restored, and she got twins. So the gluten and the impact that it has on your immune system when you have an autoimmune condition is very important. It has a very heavy impact on the thyroid if you suspect that you're Hashimoto like you are. So
right.
I'd like people to go to their doctors and ask for, and I provide you with options in the book, things you can ask for. I can take T3 and T4, and you can ask your doctor.
I was just going to say, I don't know what it's like in Canada, but in the U.S., when you go to your, traditional internist, GP, whatever you call them, or gynecologist, they will never prescribe T3. I don't know how to get a normal doctor to prescribe T3. They just get you on the Synthroid, which is the kind of, that's the protocol.
Well, the opposite side of the coin is I have a lot of people come here and they say, I want off my Altroxin or Synthroid, and I want to go on to natural thyroid. And I don't rush to do that either, because I think that a little bit of T4 from the Synthroid or the Altroxin can be very helpful for people, because And then the natural thyroid or the T3, that's what boosts the T3. So I use a combination of both more often than just taking people right off the Synthroid. So it's good to see somebody in your area if they can help you with that. Or certainly, the supplements that I put in the hormone boost can help you raise your T3 and help balance the stress hormone that helps that may suppress your active thyroid hormone, T3. So you don't necessarily need to go to the doctor. You can use the nutrition plan that I have in the book to help boost your T3.
Well, that's really important. I mean, it's a key point that everyone who's listening needs to understand. It's not just about TSH, and it's not just about getting on a Synthroid or Levoxin or whatever the alternatives are. You have to look at the critical thyroid hormone, which is T3, along with this thyroid antibody to see what's really driving it. It could be a deficiency. It could be, like you were pointing out, it could be an autoimmune issue from things like gluten, or milk, dairy, or, it could be, this autoimmune thing. So anyone who's dealing with thyroid needs to jump in, get educated, find people who can really help you get this sorted out.
We have a 5-week program that's based on my books here at the clinic, and you can do it on the phone. And people always say, do I have to do the blood work before? And you know what, Dr. Selman, the nutrition and the stress management and the sleep and the supplements that we use in that 5 weeks optimizes the thyroid so much that we just encourage people to test it at the end of the 5 weeks and see what it is then, to see if we need to add anything in more specific, because just implementing those 5 changes, it has a real big improvement on your thyroid. And it's certainly valuable to test your thyroid, but we do it most times after we've done the foundation work of the hormone boost, because we know it helps so much.
Yeah. How about checking the morning temperature? Do you find that helpful?
I do, but I really love the blood work. But certainly the morning temperature is helpful. Anything less than 36.4 is a problem. But I don't know what the Fahrenheit number is. But
yeah, it's under. Yeah. It's under, I think, in the morning temperature, it should be like 97.6, not 98.6. So the morning temperature should be around 97.6. That's before you get out of bed, moving around, and any of that stuff. Yeah. But, that could be a useful indicator. Just another tool to start monitoring yourself. I think it's really useful to do these little tests and, little assessments to just get a sense of what's going on with your own body.
Mm-hmm. No, most definitely, yeah. I just mentioned adrenaline that gets boosted with the workout that I have in the hormone boost, but probably a lot of people don't know that adrenaline is actually a powerful fat loss hormone.
I would imagine when it's kind of not overdone.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So it is specific for your body fat as an energy source to give your body, the energy to get away from the stressful event. Whereas cortisol is more selective for your muscle tissue. So we never want that, right? Because it rips down your metabolically active muscle. But, you don't want to have constant straight of adrenaline, because then that's something more considered. Obviously you're more prone to anxiety and irritability, but temporarily boosting your adrenaline, specifically during a workout, will help to raise your fat loss even more. And, a real simple way you can do that is have coffee before a workout. It increases adrenaline during the workout, and you burn more fat. So that's a really easy tip for one of the fat loss 6.
Oh, everyone will love that tip. All the coffee drinkers will be so happy to hear that, including me. I have my one cup a day early in the morning. But I'll do it before my workouts, not after now.
Yes, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah, great. While we're talking about adrenaline and weight loss, what about growth hormone? Because that plays in too with workouts and
sleep.
It
absolutely does. So in the hormone boost, I talk about the fat loss 6. So, and I have a chapter on each of these hormones, and I tell you how they benefit your health, your bones, your metabolism, everything. Hormones can become complicated for people, but the cool thing is that I give you the overview of all these hormones, and then I put together a simple daily plan that tells you how to boost all of them. So there is a chapter on growth hormone. I call it growth and rejuvenation hormone. And just to back up a little bit, really, when I think about the fat loss 6, I called these hormones the fat loss 6 because they did one of two things. They either increase metabolism and fat burning, like thyroid hormone and adrenaline, or they increase strength and metabolic tissue to help you burn more fat and increase metabolism. So that would be the androgenic hormones like testosterone and growth hormone that maintains muscle mass. So that's how I kind of came up with the concept of the Fat Loss 6. And I think I'm the only book that has them together like this, which I really like. But growth hormone, we only get it at two times. We get it when we exercise, and we get it when we sleep. So if you are a woman that doesn't exercise and you don't sleep well, you're not getting the release of that recuperative, reparative hormone, growth hormone, that rebuilds our skin cells, our muscle cells, our bone cells while we're sleeping. So you know, without that, you really are truly aging at a much more rapid rate. Now, growth hormone is so intricately linked with melatonin. So I'm sure you know, and I know, 74 or 75% of adults are sleep deprived. But so that we don't sleep enough or we don't sleep well, but there's also a proper way to sleep. And I talk about the rules of how to sleep in the book, because many of us don't realize that you really need to be naked when you sleep. And I've had fun on this radio tour asking all my hosts if they sleep naked. And you know, the majority of people don't. And then today I asked, well, why is that? You would believe the answer. One of them said, well, what if there's a fire? And then someone else said, well, I'm worried I'm going to die in my sleep, and then the EMF guys will come in and find me like that. And I thought, really, at that point. Yeah, exactly. It's the least you're worried. You know?
I don't get that reasoning, but anyway.
I know, it's so funny. But we really, a lot of people don't know that you should sleep naked, and it simply directly relates to your body temperature. You know, we should be cooling down when we sleep. But if you eat too many starchy carbohydrates before bed, or if you exercise too close to bedtime, if you sleep in tight-fitting clothing, or if you sleep with heavy blankets, that raises your body temperature. And if you combine that with light exposure, light, even the size of a dime, shining on your skin anywhere, these are going to reduce the production of melatonin. And if you don't have the melatonin, you don't go into the deeper stages of sleep, and you don't get the release of growth hormone. So I talk about all these specific things you need to do to enhance the hormone optimizing impacts of your sleep. And when you sleep properly and enough, you should wake up in the morning and feel hungry. You know, I hear so many patients say, I wake up in the morning, it doesn't matter if I'm hungry or not. But in my mind, being hungry when you wake up is a great sign that your metabolism is revving, that your sleep has been really effective and recuperative, and your body has metabolized and done all that reparative work that it needs to do while you're sleeping. So, and that has all linked to do with growth hormone. And, you know, so many people take over-the-counter sleep aids, and you and I both know that it reduces REM sleep. So I'm a real big fan of natural sleep aids, and I give lots of suggestions in the book. And I help you pick the right type of sleep aid based on your sleep disruption. Like, for instance, if you wake up between 2 and 4, that's probably a good indication you're high cortisol levels, too much stress. And Relora, it's an extract from magnolia bark. If you take this for 2 weeks, it's shown to lower cortisol and raise DHEA, which is your anti-aging, anti-stress hormone. And that can help to restore your sleep patterns. Or contrary, if you're someone that tends to wake up very early in the morning, no matter how late you go to bed, that could be an indication that you have low serotonin levels and you need to boost your serotonin. You can use supplements like 5-HTP and vitamin D and fish oils to help raise serotonin and help to improve the activity of this hormone in your brain. So it's about personalizing the approach for people, and I aim to do that with all of my books.
You know, I also want to add one thing, then we need to take a break. In the research that I've been doing, and actually a lot of lecturing, is talking about the impact of electromagnetic radiation from your cell phone, from any of the wireless technology that people have in and around their their beds and, you know, the other rooms or just on their person. And one of the things that I warn people about based on studies is that exposure to your cell phone or charging your phone or any wireless device, even your router being on in your home at night when you're sleeping, can actually lower melatonin levels. So you have impaired sleep. In fact, one of the biggest symptoms of the impacts of EMFs is insomnia. So
yes.
Take your stuff away. Don't charge your phone. Get protection. Make sure the router can be turned off at night. But never, never, never sleep with your phone or charge your phone or any devices next to your head in your bedroom.
Yes, even your alarm clock, I actually talk about that, has to be at least 3 feet away.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Sullivan, one thing I wonder, this day and age, you used to say don't watch TV before bed, but I honestly think now that the TV is probably less stimulating on people's brain as compared to getting on the iPad or on their computer and surfing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I am such an adamant component of moving the electronic devices that are going to disrupt your melatonin production because of the EMF. And then also breaking that habit of getting online after 8 o'clock at night. And, you know, if you are going to use the TV, you've got to use the sleep button so it turns off. And I teach a class here, and just last night, one of the girls said, I've started using the sleep button on my phone. And she said, I'm sleep button on my telephone, on my TV. And I'm sleeping all through the night now. I had no idea how much the light on the TV was disrupting
yeah.
me. So if you have to have the TV in the bedroom, use the sleep button so that it turns off.
And your phone has a light thing that actually turns into the yellow spectrum rather than the blue spectrum, which
yes.
is daylight. So even on, there's an app called eFlux, and you can get that for free. And it turns your computer into the yellow light, like dusk.
Yes.
Which is the nighttime, so you're stimulating the nighttime hormones, not the daytime hormones. So
I think it's also too, like, just simply, it's too stimulating to keep changing the pages and surfing and looking at the, it makes you more dopamine dominant, which is what you want to be in the morning. You know, you want to try and focus on one thing in the evening, which makes you more serotonin dominant. So it's I agree, it's the combination of the light exposure and the actual activity.
Yeah. So listen, let's take a break because you have so many more great tips to share with us. So we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. And my guest, Natasha Turner, has just a wealth of great information that we'll be continuing with. So don't go away. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from Progressive Voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Michael Wald, and I'm proud to announce that I'm the host of a new show right here on PRN every Saturday at 1 o'clock entitled Ask the Blood Detective. And as your friendly neighborhood blood detective, I'll be exploring all the cutting-edge, important health topics, which will include everything from foods to technology to supplementation and how it impacts your current health so that you can either reach health, maintain good health, or shoot for optimal health and longevity. But what is different about this show is that I'll be describing and teaching you how to interpret your own laboratory tests to find hidden nutritional and health meaning when many other healthcare providers fail to do so. So tune in with me every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Ask the Blood Detective. See you soon.
Have you ever listened to Anthony Robbins, watched the movie called The Secret, or read about the power of positive thinking from the perspective of any of the many fine authors who have written about the subject? They all focus on the law of attraction, which governs every second of every life of every person in the universe. Like attracts like, and everything you do, feel, and think about as a regular way of being determines your life experiences. PRN's new show, LOA Today, explores all aspects of this magnificent law of the universe every Thursday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Join hosts Walt Thiessen and Yuona June Thiessen as we explore the law of attraction each week. That's LOA Today, Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. here on PRN.
Love, 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 love. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And today we're having a great conversation with Dr. Natasha Turner and her new book, The Hormone Boost, How to Power Up Your Six Essential Hormones for Strength, Energy, and Weight Loss. So this has been great, Natasha. We're having some, you know, sharing some great tips for people. I know that a lot of this information will be adding to everyone's knowledge base about hormones, and it's always good to keep expanding and understanding more of the pieces of the puzzle, as I like to call them.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, you've done some great work. You've put together a great book, great information, and I really love the fact that a lot of practical strategies also, which we all need, practical strategies. Information is great, but we have to have the strategies to implement all that good information. So so let's talk about a hormone that maybe people have not heard much of anything about and probably know even less, called adiponectin.
So this is, a really interesting hormone. It's so powerful. Adiponectin is a hormone that we know is released from our fat cells, and it gets stimulated when we exercise. And it's cool that it comes from your fat cells, but it actually burns up your fat cells. So it burns fat, it reduces inflammation, it increases insulin sensitivity. It's a powerful fat loss tool. So it is boosted by exercise. It's also boosted by food. And I found and some certain supplements, like I found some really great studies to show even zinc. Zinc is one of the most common mineral deficiencies today. I'd say this, the first is probably magnesium. But just simply taking one pill of zinc every day at night for 12 weeks at a 50 milligram dosage, and I'm a big fan of zinc picolinate, which is the strongest, most potent form of zinc, that will help weight loss, and it's because it helps all your hormones work better, and specifically because it stimulates the production of adiponectin. One of the most powerful ways to raise adiponectin, which it seems to be, it might even be stronger than actually going to the gym, is by increasing fiber. And most of us think about getting fiber in our diets, like daily intake of fiber, 30 grams of fiber per day. Well, one of the rules of the hormone boost is that I get you to have your fiber at every meal. So you have protein four times a day because it boosts glucagon, another fat loss hormone, and fiber four times a day because it stimulates adiponectin. So when you do that, you're going to have better appetite control and better fat loss the whole day long. So it's a great secret, to kind of spread out your fiber. Green tea also boosts adiponectin, and so does olive oil. So if you were going to make a smoothie for breakfast, my two favorite types of fats that you would have at breakfast would be hemp hearts or olive oil. And olive oil boosts adiponectin. If you do that, you're going to have higher adiponectin for fat loss the whole day long. And I found studies that showed that olive oil is obviously helpful for cardiovascular health and for weight loss, but the benefits seem to be even more impactful if you have it at breakfast. And most of us think about getting that at lunch or dinner. So,
True. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never would have thought of taking olive oil in my smoothie, to be honest, but I'll try it now. I'll try anything. I'm just like that. Okay. Give me a good challenge. Sorry, anything I can else, handle olive oil in my smoothie in the morning. We'll cover it up with something else,
Yeah.
So you don't really taste it. But so that's interesting, the role of olive oil, which is such a healthy oil. We should all be using olive oil. I do a lot of nutrigenomic testing, and I have to say that based on people's genes, the majority of people really thrive on olive oil as opposed to plant-based oils or even saturated fats. Olive oil seems to have the greatest health benefit for the majority of people.
And that's a simple little tip. And whenever I give a lecture or and I wrote the hormone boost, my goal is to inspire you to just do one thing differently, right? Although this book is chock full with hundreds of different tips that you could choose to try and implement them all or implement them, step by step. I like to say to my patients, you have the rest of your life to be healthy. Let's implement things, bit by bit. And that's how I set up the book, too. I made it very practical. I actually, step one is that you get ready to do the program. Before you start the diet plan, the exercise and the supplement plan, I have you prep your home. I make you prep your bedroom, prep your bathroom, prep your kitchen, and get prepared with a shopping list. Mm-hmm. You set yourself mm-hmm. up for success, and then you start on the program. And in all my years of practice, it's 20 years of practice now, I think people, you really need just simple tools, and you need things to be laid out for you, and that's what I think this book is. I mean, my mother-in-law could even read this book. I'm famous for making my books pretty full of a lot of information, and this one was very streamlined, and, here's what you have to do, and here's how to do it.
So we need to cover glucagon, since we're talking about this adiponectin, this hormone that actually stimulates metabolism. Let's talk about glucagon.
So most people are familiar with the hormone insulin. When you eat foods, the food gets broken down into sugar. The sugar goes in the bloodstream, and then your pancreas responds by releasing insulin. And I like to think of insulin as a little truck. It goes out, picks up the sugar molecules, and it drives them to your cells, your liver cells, your muscle cells, or your fat cells. And the way it gets into the cell is it binds with the insulin receptor or presses the garage door opener, and then that allows the insulin to go in from the bloodstream, and it takes the sugar from the bloodstream and into the cell. So it's telling your body store energy. It's the only hormone that does that, that tells your body to store energy as fat. Well, most hormones have an opposite hormone, and the opposite to insulin is glucagon. Glucagon tells your body to release the sugar from the fat cell into the bloodstream so you burn it up. So it's a powerful fat loss burning hormone. We get it when we exercise. We get it when we fast, and you also get it in between meals. So when you eat protein, it's stimulated. So that's why I have you eat protein four times a day. And by the way, in this book, I finally found the formula for helping people figure out how much protein they should eat. I provide that in the book because my other books, I was giving general guidelines, but now I know you really need to calculate your protein intake based on your weight. And if you go below a certain amount of protein per day, which I break into four meals, you will lose muscle. So you don't want to lose muscle. It's a big part of the reason why we all are gaining weight and becoming more frail and fatigued when we age, is because we're losing muscle. So the protein.
Let's talk about this protein and muscle connection, because as people get older, more so for women, but also true for men, they have a condition called sarcopenia, which is a loss of muscle mass. And muscle mass is so critical for our health and for energy and weight loss and healthy bones. Can we talk a little bit about why we absolutely must build muscle mass and include weight bearing or resistance training as part of our healing, rejuvenation, healthy lifestyle strategy?
Absolutely. So there's four components to maintaining muscle. Your sleep, because that's when your body repairs. Your nutrition, because it gives your body the protein and the calories that you need to maintain your muscle mass. Otherwise, you're going to eat that muscle up as an energy source. Supplements can help with raising muscle mass, like creatine and whey protein, things like that. And then managing stress. So if you're stressed out, you go through surgery, you'll tend to lose muscle. And then you have this exercise, the strength training. I am such a proponent of strength training. That's how I healed my polycystic ovarian syndrome and improved my insulin imbalance, was entirely with my nutrition and my strength training. And, no matter how old you are, you need to be doing strength training. And I found this fabulous study that showed two groups of people. They were in their, elderly people, and one group was prescribed walking, and the other group was prescribed strength training. And what they found was the people who were prescribed the walking started to take more naps and become less active outside of their exercise prescription. And then the people who were prescribed the strength training exercise started to do more activity, take on more, and become more productive in their day. And the answer is simply because the strength training was building muscle, and muscle is metabolic tissue, and one of the best indicators that you've got a good metabolism is that you've got good energy. So you should feel rejuvenated and strong and energized from your workout. And You know, walking is great. Anybody could do walking, but doing all cardio like spinning, doing all this these boot camp classes and all that type of stuff, I really do not suggest it. You're going to get so much more bang for your buck if you work out this the type of training that I have in the book that I've outlined for you exactly, tells you how to do the exercise, everything. That will build muscle, and it's you're going to just feel so much different.
Yeah, there's such a big story building muscle mass, and you know, there's a really interesting study that I came across out of the University of Queensland in Australia, and they took a group of women. They were in their 70s, 80s. Some of them were very frail, and used to, you know, the belief is that if you work with seniors that age group, you want to just do light weights, you know, which can help build muscle mass, but you know, you don't want to overdo it. Well, they actually started these women on. They started with lighter weights, but then built up, and some of them were deadlifting their own weight with weights. And they had this amazing capacity to lift heavy weights, and the results were fantastic. They had 5.5% increase in bone density, and you know, all their cognitive functions impaired, and they were these muscle women.
And, I love that.
It was fantastic.
That's so great. Just, my gosh, we have little
right?
ladies here. That are, we do strength, we only do half hour strength training, and it's all about, we do heavy weights, but with proper form, and doing 12 to 15 repetitions with the proper form and heavier weight, that stimulates the growth hormone, that's what builds your muscles and your bones, so you're absolutely right, like, I just love that, I just think that's so great, and you don't need a lot, when you exercise properly, combine it with the nutrition, you really don't need a lot of exercise, your body will respond wonderfully.
So there you go, everyone listening. Get those weights out. But I, the other point I want to make, which you just mentioned, Natasha, and that is the need for proper form. Because if you don't have proper form, number one, you're not going to get the benefits, and number two, you could be at risk of injury. So you must either watch a really good video, but better yet, get somebody who's trained, get a trainer, you know, and just at least get them to start you off with the right form.
Yeah.
So
yes.
You do it properly and get the outcome you want.
Yes, and I believe exercise is the number one way to change your life. And, you know, at the beginning, when I want you to focus on your sleep first, on your nutrition and on your digestion. But, you know, eventually you got to put that strength training piece in. And, you know, no diet works all the time, but what does work and what maintains your results is exercise and doing it properly and, like you said, proper form. Over 40, things take a lot longer to heal, so you don't want to be injuring yourself because, you know, you want to be healthy and strong and you want to feel good from your workout, not worse.
And the other important point I just want to make is that it doesn't matter where you start. You could have very poor muscle mass, you know, and just not much at all going on there. But if you work at it, you can build your muscle at any age.
You certainly can. And do you know what? Just simply increasing your protein. Because I measure muscle, fat, and water. I buy a bioimpedance analysis here at the clinic, when on every patient. And I have patients come back in the 5-week program, and their muscle has improved for 2 or 3 pounds. And they'll say, how can I do that? I have not exercised. And I said, it's because we've improved your sleep, and I've started giving your body the protein that it needs. And you actually will build muscle simply from that. I just want to raise one more point about the bones. You know, in the book, The Hormone Boost, the only negative thing that I did speak of was just the statistics on osteoporosis and just how grave an issue this is. And I put in there a super powerful program to help rebuild your bones. And I found this really interesting thing. We've already talked about nutrition and the sleep and all that and the exercise for bones. But there is one supplement that I wanted to mention, and it's a plant-based omega. And in the studies that I found, this specific plant-based omega raised bone density, while a marine-based fish oil omega did not. So if you're a perimenopausal or a menopausal woman that wants to maintain the bone density, you should really, you can find this find on my website, but it's a plant-based omega. It's a vegan omega, and it's much better for your bones.
From an algae?
It's actually not. They're parental oils. They're oils that have been processed in a way that they have never been exposed to the air. And Health Canada actually took this product and sent it to California for additional testing. It was 3,000 times more pure and stable than the government guidelines. It's a Pure Form Omega is the name of the product, and it is just awesome for bone density, for cholesterol. And it's not a processed vegetable oil. Not the harmful. It's not the same as what you would get in a bottle. They've never been exposed to the air, and they're very stable, and it's really good for your bones.
Wow, that's so interesting. Okay, mm-hmm. We'll have to go check it out. So they're called parent essential oils. Is that
yes,
what they're called?
Yes, parental oils. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The name of the
parent.
Product is Pure Form Omega, but it's such a good thing for bone density. So I've switched my women to all everybody who has bone density concerns to this product instead of the fish oil omega, which a lot of my patients are on fish oils, obviously. But
do these parent essential oils also help in the same way that the fish oils do with
yes.
brain and inflammation and hormones?
They do.
And
how
stuff?
I found this product was through a colleague of mine. He's a medical doctor, and he's a migraine and pain specialist. And he was the person who introduced me to this product. And we've been using it with patients with dementia, migraines. And the impact has been great on brain function, cognitive function, cholesterol levels increases, good cholesterol drops, total cholesterol reduces inflammation. Just really good studies. Huh.
So it does everything that a fish oil omega will do. Do you still need a fish oil?
Now it also aids the bones.
Wow. I just want to have you explain a bit more about the role of protein and why protein is so important, and the fact that you have your patients take it four times a day. So that's like morning, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and before bedtime, I would imagine.
Well, you know, there's two times of the day when we really mess up without enough protein, which, as an aside, I ditched snacking in this book. There is no snacking because people never get enough protein in their snacks. So what I did, I've switched to a four meal per day. All the meals are the same size. They all have the same amount of protein, same amount of fat, same amount of fiber. They vary in the type of carbohydrate depending on the time of day, and I can get into that next. But I spread your protein out at four different times a day. Within an hour of rising, I want you to start with the first load of protein. And again, you would calculate the protein based on your weight, and I give you the formula in the book. So that's within an hour of rising. Next, you would do it around between 11 and 1, okay? Now, my preference for a protein meal at that time of the day is a protein on the go. So I do a meal replacement, or I'll do a protein bar. I just like that, and I prefer to have solid food for breakfast, but lots of people like smoothies for breakfast. You could do that, too, and I've got tons of recipes in the book. The next time that's essential for protein is between 3 and 4 o'clock, around that time. Most of us mess up and don't get the protein then. And in fact, that's when I really want you to get it, because it's so important for your adrenal glands, your stress glands. It helps to lower cortisol. You'll eat less in the following meal if you get your protein load then. And it's so important for weight loss. So that's when you get the next load of protein. And then that's when I have my typical lunch, so my soup or salad or my stir fry. I eat that around between 2 and 4 o'clock, okay, and I have another whole load of protein. Then the last time you have the protein is between 6 and 8 p.m., which is classically your dinner, and then you would combine your protein with your starchy carbohydrate at night. That's when you'd have your quinoa, your beans, you know.
You're at night, which
at
which
night
is your,
and most
your
people,
evening your evening can, meal
your evening meal, yes.
Yeah.
Now most people would not have their carbohydrate, their starchy carb at night, because they think it's not good, but in fact, do you know, I put this in the book, the research I found, the people who ate their starchy carbohydrate at night had better muscle mass and retained their muscle more. And it's simply because eating your starchy carbohydrate at night lowers stress hormone, and it raises serotonin, which helps improve your mood and improve your sleep. And the better you sleep, the better your growth hormone, and then you're better in muscle repair. So that's why I want you to have your starch at night. And I don't want you to have your starch like your cereal or your pastry or whatever it is in the morning, because that makes you foggy, doesn't keep your brain as sharp, and it doesn't boost your thyroid as much. So it's not, you don't do it in the morning, you know. So it's a little bit, this nutrition plan is definitely different than most books out there. But it's, you know, I've been using it for years with my practice here. And it's funny, you know, the other day one of my friends said, geez, you know, you've written four books. Haven't you contradicted yourself by now with these diet books, with four of them? And, you know, I said, no, I haven't. every book that I write and produce is an evolution of the previous book because it represents a subsection of my patient case that didn't respond to that, to my diet. And then I think, what's going on with that person? Why didn't it? And then I keep evolving, evolving, evolving. And so that's how I've got to the hormone boost.
Yes, well, you're great. You're a little researcher.
So, I love it.
So just to clarify, the evening meal has more carbs, healthy carbs like quinoa, and some protein.
And I tell you what not to eat. You know, not sweet potato, not brown rice, not chickpeas, not oatmeal. A lot of people go for those, but most of us are so metabolically damaged that even those healthy carbs cause problems. You know, and I'll tell you in a nutshell, you should never have a craving. If you're having cravings, it means your hormones are in balance. It means you're stressed out. It means you're not sleeping well. It means you're eating too many carbohydrates or you're not eating enough protein. So pay attention. If you have cravings, you're eating something is out of balance with your diet. And sometimes, you know, if you've not been sleeping well, you've over-exercised, you don't have enough muscle, you've been eating too many carbs, not enough protein, you've damaged your metabolism, and some of those healthy carbs are a problem for you. So I help you pick the right carbs. You should not go no carb, no starchy carb, because that raises stress hormone and it can cause anxiety and depression to be worse. So it's all about helping you make the right selections, and I made it dead easy. I've got food lists. I gave you food lists for all of your meals, protein, carb, fat, fiber. And there's 60 different recipes in the book, and that because I give you the food list, you can swap out any ingredient that you don't like. So say it's a shrimp stir fry. If you don't like shrimp, you can find shrimp on the list, and you can swap it out for any other food in that category. And I did the same thing for smoothies and the same thing for salads. We really mess up our hormones making smoothies and salads because they oftentimes have too much fat, too many carbs, not enough protein. And I help you make a perfect hormonally balanced recipe every single time with these little lists that I have in the book that make it so easy.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, done a great job, and I do recommend everyone get up onto Amazon, order the Hormone Boost, and learn how to power up your six essential hormones for strength, energy, and weight loss with Dr. Natasha Turner. Thanks so much, Natasha. Great
Thank
as
you
always.
So much. It was a real pleasure to talk to you.
You take care now. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And to all of you listening, get your hormones boosted, and remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.